amazing the alchemy that can take place, the magic that can take place in Circle. Welcome to the Circle Holding Podcast with me, Julia Davis.
And me, Tessa Venuti Sanderson. We are the co-authors of the book Circle Holding, A Practical Guide to Facilitating Talking Circles.
We would love for you to join us for free talks, question and answer sessions, all about the art of holding circle. You can find these at circleholding.org.
Today, we're talking about big feelings and big personalities when you come to a circle. Now, we get a lot of questions about this in our training courses, and it can really be a big barrier to starting a circle if you're worrying about how you're going to be managing big feelings and big personalities.
We thought we'd share a quotation from Brenda Rock, who is one of the people that we spoke to when we were researching the book. And in the book, on page 21, Brenda says, "My biggest worries are a fear of responsibility for people's emotions, not being able to handle what may come up. I realise the importance of looking after my own emotional health so that I can help serve others to the best of my ability. I may need more confidence in establishing clear boundaries."
That's just so classic when somebody's starting out as a circle facilitator, because I think people feel the responsibility that they have, and yet we can only be responsible so far. I don't know if you agree, Julia, you know, as a circle facilitator, one of the guidelines we give is you want to take responsibility for your feelings. Let somebody know if you're feeling upset by what's happened during the talking, or let somebody know if you think you need further support.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that certainly in the circle holding that we run and we talk about, there's a very, very clear difference between being somebody who holds circle and a therapist. We are not therapists, you know, unless you are a qualified therapist. We're not therapists. The circle hasn't been created as a place for therapy. People might attend the circle and then feel better afterwards, but that's not our responsibility. And to make that very clear, I mean, Brenda says clearly, you know, about, I may need more confidence in establishing clear boundaries. Boundaries is a really, really key tenet of holding circle. Knowing that people have come into circle saying, I am responsible for my own feelings and emotions. And that doesn't mean that we don't come into that space with care for other people. It means that we're not there to judge or fix. So even something as simple as not necessarily pushing a box of tissues, you know, to or not necessarily moving to give someone a hug or go there to them. There are, you know, boundaries that we don't necessarily cross in circle that you might choose to cross as someone's friend.
And I think, you know, it's really important to say all feelings are welcome in a circle space. There might be anger, there might be grief, there might be raucous laughter, all emotions. And I think as a facilitator, you need to be therefore comfortable with all emotions. So if you know as a person, as an individual, you have a bit of an edge when it comes to something like anger or with grief, that's going to be part of your inner work to prepare, and that ongoing journey that we need to do to keep being the best facilitator that we can be. Yeah. And I've certainly seen it in circles where there's that tendency to rush in with a box of tissues or go for a hug. And I always try and just say, oh, hang on, let's just check in with the person. What would they like?
Yeah. Have you got a lovely quotation for us too, Tessa?
Yeah, another person that we talked to, Lisa Horwell, she was saying, a lot of women who came to my early circles had no awareness of how to share. Sometimes they would come along once, share their trauma and never come again. And I think that's really interesting, because that's not ideal. You know, if you're running a regular circle, you want to build up a sense of community and, you know, that you start to support each other and people come and they learn how to hold space themselves. And if somebody just comes once and offloads and dominates that whole circle, it probably hasn't served the other people that were there at that time.
Yeah, we've got a whole chapter in the book looking at timing, and timing can be such a key factor in ensuring that there isn't necessarily oversharing in a circle. And maybe some of the concerns that you might have, you might worry that you know a personality and you know that they like to talk and that that person's going to take over. And it may well be somebody that in your life, when they come along and they're at parties or at dinner parties, that's what they do. They take over the conversation. So that might be a concern that you have. It also might be yourself. So you might be somebody who likes to talk and who doesn't get the opportunity to. Maybe your reason for setting up a circle is having a sense of loneliness. That's certainly something that many new parents experience, is a loneliness, or empty nesters. And that then you can find that you are in a circle and then suddenly you think, oh my goodness, I can speak. And then you might go to a circle and think, oh my goodness, I spoke for 20 minutes and it was only an hour circle. And I know that lots of other people didn't get to speak. And actually, if that is something that occurs when you join that group, it isn't necessarily your fault or your responsibility that happened. It is the space holder's responsibility to ensure that all voices that want to be heard are heard.
Lots of tips and tricks about how you can make sure that everybody has a chance to speak. So there are very concrete things that you can do to you know, if there are dominating voices, to help them learn how to listen more, or if there are very quiet voices, to encourage them to speak more. You know, it's that balance. That's what always comes up in the trainings, is I'm worried if there's somebody who's taking up a lot of space, or if there are people that don't seem to say anything, how can I give them the opportunity? And I always make it clear in the circle holding, you don't have to speak. Like, listening is a really important role. And it's, some people call them listening circles rather than talking circles. But I think it's such a beautiful space where anybody can improve their ability to listen. I'm still learning about listening. And, you know, that deep listening is such a beautiful thing to bring to the world, where you can completely witness somebody in their experience rather than sitting there thinking, oh, what am I going to say when I get a chance to get in?
Yeah, I think that's one thing that we're really trying to move away from. If you've, you know, sat in a circle and you thought, oh, I really want, and you never quite get the word in, or you have that nervous energy of waiting and knowing that there's a circle of 12 people and you're number 12 of 12 and you haven't had the opportunity to speak, you might have lost the bravery by the time it comes to you. So, you know, little techniques that help with that can be really useful.
I was in an amazing circle of 70 plus women. And obviously with that many people, it took a while to go round. And the lady that was sitting next to me, I could palpably feel her nervousness. Right, from the beginning of it going round the circle, happened to start near us but go the other way. So we were sitting there for quite a long time. And although we were encouraged just to share something very short each, with 70 plus women, that still takes a long time. So it's a very real thing that, you know, even if somebody might otherwise be quite confident, you know, if it's the first time in circle, and those nerves can get to you. And the other thing I was going to say is also, you were talking about the circle facilitation personality themselves. Sometimes we just have to allow silence as a circle facilitator, and that can be quite edgy. You know, if you're not somebody that's good with silences and you want to fill it all the time, that's also something to practice, because especially if you've just introduced a topic and maybe it's a bit of an edgy topic, a bit taboo, or maybe more complex and you just need a bit of time to think about it, it's okay for people to be quiet. They're just reflecting on, oh, okay, what does that mean to me? How am I going to respond to this? Do I feel ready to respond yet? So I always just, you know, if I've introduced the topic, and I just take some deep breaths. I think people are thinking, I don't need to rush in here. So I think being comfortable with silence is really important as a facilitator.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful skill to cultivate. And also we have quite a lot of fun with practicing skills that show when your butt, what it feels like when someone butts in. And if you actually practice actively butting in or being butted in when you're speaking, and if you do that as a fun exercise in your circle, then people will think more about it. If you actually practice the listening skills themselves with your group, that can be a really fun way to get people to really think about whether they need to speak and giving people the opportunity to finish their sentences. There are lots of skills and tools that you can use that ensure that the person speaking gets to finish and to ensure the person that's speaking doesn't hog the space as well.
I just think with circle facilitation, there are some very clear tips and tricks that can be shared. And then there's also the skill of it that comes from practice. It's one of those things where you just need to take the, you know, the plunge and start your circle, because the facilitation gets easier the more you experience. And I think with big feelings and big personalities, there can be so much anxiety around that when you're thinking about facilitating. But the most important thing to remember is your humanness. You might have something happen that you never anticipated. And if you bring your humanness to it and your compassion, and just like you'd react if you were out and about and something happened, you do the best that you can. And I think that's a really important message. You know, we don't have to have all the answers in advance. And I think it's really important what you were saying before, Julia, about this sort of difference between a pure talking circle, which is about listening and witnessing people, compared to the therapizing or, you know, taking somebody on a process, a journey. We have to be very clear about what our role is.
Yeah. And also I was thinking as you're saying that, there's the one side where we're not therapists, and there's the other side where we might have people that we're friends with or not friends with. We find that someone's got a much bigger personality than we can cope with. Or we find that every time we're with them, it takes so much effort to get them to even say anything, you know, like, oh my goodness. So you might find people that want to come to your circle aren't necessarily your social, natural people to be with. And actually, that is a joy of circle. That is one of the purposes of circle, that it brings people together that wouldn't naturally necessarily spend time together as friends. And if you're facilitating a circle and you think, oh, I'm really not sure if I want that person to come, invite them. If they want to come, let them come in. Really create your boundaries, make them very, very clear. You can restate your guidelines if they haven't been followed. That's absolutely okay to do that. And those people might surprise you. The people that never say anything may find their voice. And the people who are always talking might find their switch off button. And they'll probably enjoy the circle more from either finding their voice or giving their voice a little bit of time to be quiet.
When I'd been running my circle for a couple of years, my women's circle, there was a lady who started coming, and she would come every month. She was there like clockwork. And she always seemed to me a bit reserved and a bit sort of introverted and not very willing to share. But she wanted to come. And so I kept sort of welcoming her into the circle. And about a year later, she came and was so different. She even looked different. Her voice was different. I was like, what is going on? I almost didn't recognize her. It was that different. And it turned out that her period had always been coming, because the women's circle meets on the Monday nearest the new moon, and her period had been coming around the new moon. So whenever I saw her, she was on her period and she was feeling very introverted. After a year, her cycles changed and she started having a period around the full moon. And she was a completely different person. And now I still know her, and we're good friends, and we have a laugh about it. She herself could recognize how different she was in the group. So you're absolutely right. You can't understand always what's happening for somebody and why they are the way they are in a circle.
Yeah, and I often have, I don't know, I attract big personalities, but I often have people who are loquacious, but also I have quiet people as well. And I'm quite strict sometimes about, actually, let's come back, you know, like just reminding people of the precepts of the circle. And I do that, and they're happy to quieten down. And that's given confidence to those quieter voices. There are people who've come and found and kind of said, oh, this is the first time I've really felt like I'm in a safe enough space to say this. And then they've shared something really profound. So that is, you know, it's a very, very beautiful thing to witness. There's a real feeling of being honoured when someone shares. So, and often it may well be that they're sharing a big feeling or something big, but they're not sharing it to get sympathy. They're sharing it because it feels okay to say that thing. So there's a big difference between sharing big feelings and the group feeling discombobulated or really uncomfortable with that. It is amazing the alchemy that can take place, the magic that can take place in circle that enables big things to be shared and for it to feel okay for everyone there.
Yeah, and I really think it's an important point what you were saying about coming back to the guidelines, because that way you're creating a container and you've set up what the expectations are for communication. And if you've done that right at the beginning, you can come back as many times as you need to reset that container. I think that's such an important point, a really kind of anchor for circle facilitation. The other thing that came to mind when you were talking was that there are tensions. I think it's important to acknowledge that. There's the tension between, you know, allowing people to be their authentic self, whether they're very talkative or they tend to be shy, especially in a group situation, and the tensions with then, you know, how, try and encourage everybody to have an equal chance. That's the tension, that authenticity versus the equality. And that's such a dance and a kind of the art of facilitation. And again, also, I think with the big feelings thing, we want people to feel that all feelings are welcome. And we want people to be able to fully express themselves. But at the same time, there is a tension with going down a big story to explain all that happened behind it in the context. You know, again, we're trying to help people say what's truthful for them, what's really alive for them now, but in a way that other people have a chance to as well. You know, I think it's important to say it is a skill. It's it can be a bit of a juggling act.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think one thing that, like a big tip that we can end this mini episode with today is speaking from the I. Notice, you can notice this week, when am I speaking from the I, and when am I telling a story about you, they, we? Because when we speak from the I, it's a very different experience, and we tell stories in a very different way to if we're telling a story about the collective, as if everyone does it. We all do. Isn't it true that you, they did? That tends to be a very different kind of story. So that's something that I can leave with you as an exercise, a practice, whether you're in or out of circle.
Speaking for myself, I have thoroughly enjoyed this discussion with you, Julia.
I have too, Tessa. We look forward to being with you next time for the Circle Holding Podcast.
You've been listening to the Circle Holding Podcast. I've been Tessa Venuti Sanderson.
And I've been Julia Davis. We would love for you to rate and review this podcast. A 5-star rating means more people will find us.
We're the co-authors of the book Circle Holding, A Practical Guide to Facilitating Talking Circles.
Thank you for joining us today.
You can find our trainings at circleholding.org. We hope that you find a community where you can be authentically you very soon.